Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
There are some things in life that just cannot be replaced by an imposter. Can you think of a few things in your mind that you just, things that you like, things that you prefer, and think consumerism, think things that you buy, products that you use, that you just, you don't want the off-brand, you want the real thing. One thing that comes to my mind, and forgive me for indulging a little, are Doritos. My favorite chip when I eat chips. I don't eat them very often anymore, as you well know. But if we're going to have a chip, if I'm going to have a chip, I like the cheese Doritos. That's my favorite ones. And of course, there are those store brand knockoff ones that look a lot like it. And they do everything they can to make their label as close to the thing as possible without getting sued. And some of you might even say to me, now, Pastor, you can't really tell the difference. I've even heard people go as far as say they make them in the same factory. Say whatever you will, but I say no, sir. No, ma'am. A Dorito is a Dorito, and a Flavorito is garbage. Not to say that you can't choke them down. But to me, the Flavoritos, the off-brand, the knockoff ones, are pretty objectionable. You just can't do better than the genuine. Another example is potassium chloride, better known as salt substitute. Have any of you here ever had to use salt substitute? I see a hand or two going up. I used to work in a nursing home when I was a teenager, and I worked in dietary. And I was the dish guy and the drink guy. I had to put all the drinks together. I had to thicken the liquids for those folks that couldn't have regular liquid. And I had to put all that out on the trays and then clean up the dining room. I actually really enjoyed that job. It was really a lot of fun. I enjoyed doing it. And they were good to me about Sabbath. That was really nice. I was able to have every Sabbath off. And so I praised God for that. But I can remember there were certain folks, and I still, I mean, that has been... We're coming close to 20 years since I worked that job as a teenager, and I can still remember the little personal ID cards that we had to put on each tray, and they were on a little stand, and it had the person's name, the resident's name, their room number, and it had all of their dietary restrictions listed there and some of their preferences so that we would know when we were doing meal service what to put and what not to put on their trays. And so all of us that worked in the kitchen had a pretty critical job, because if somebody has a food allergy or if they have a restriction and you give them the wrong thing, it can be very detrimental, sometimes even life-threatening. And I can remember if they had the little blue sticker, that meant they were on a no-salt diet. And we had a lot of those little blue stickers. And if that blue sticker came along, as I would put the final, you know, start, we had a little assembly line. You had one person on this end that would set the tray up, put the silverware, get everything ready, put dessert and all that, send it down the middle, the entree and all the stuff would go, then it would come down to me, and I had to put all the finishing touches, the drinks and the condiments and all that sort of thing. So I had to watch for those little blue stickers. And there were a lot of them. And I had to make sure I didn't put a salt packet on those. I had to put this stuff that we called new salt, N-U-S-A-L-T. And I always wondered, what is salt substitute? What is that stuff like? I mean, how do you make a substitute for something so basic? Because salt is pretty basic, isn't it? It seems pretty benign. And so one day I was so curious that my curiosity got the better of me, and I thought, I am going to try this salt substitute. I got to know what this is. Of course, I didn't look up the science behind it. I didn't know that it was potassium chloride instead of sodium chloride. But I decided to sprinkle a little bit of on some food, because as the kitchen staff, we were allowed to eat supper there if we chose to, because we were there during supper service. And once in a while, they would put things out that I would eat. Very rarely, though. It's amazing. You have people in the nursing home that are trying to convalesce and get well, and we're feeding them just unbelievable things. But anyway, I can go on that tangent, but I won't. But I remember I had I had picked something up. I don't remember what it was, but I got that little packet of salt substitute, and I ripped it open, and I sprinkled a little bit on the food. And it looked like salt, had the same kind of texture as salt, appeared to be salt. If it would have been in a shaker, I would not have known the difference. I'd have thought it was salt until it passed between my lips. And I almost spit the food out. Now, I don't want to discourage you if you have to eat salt substitute. God bless you. But as I tasted that, I thought, no wonder so many of these folks in the dining room, if I go out there and mingling around them, they just talk about how much they hate this stuff. I'd rather have nothing than have to eat that, I can remember a few of them saying. It looks, it looks like salt, but it doesn't taste anything like it. I can remember hearing things like that, and boy, were they right. I can't even describe. To me, I felt like I was eating metal on my food. It was just something wasn't right. Looked like salt, felt like salt. But there was something amiss. Something was not right about this substance. It was not the real thing, and I knew it. It wasn't salt. According to the website about.com, this website that claims to have all the answers for life's mysteries, says that salt is perhaps the most well-known food additive for its roles as a flavoring agent and food preservative. Salt has been used by humans to preserve food for thousands of years, but salt also plays other lesser-known roles in the food we eat. Salt is an essential nutrient. Isn't that interesting? I remember reading in a book called The Councils on Diet and Foods, and Sister White makes a similar comment about salt. She says that the Lord had showed her that we shouldn't get rid of salt completely, that we needed it sparingly, we needed it in moderation, but she didn't know why. She just knew the Lord was showing her that. Salt, this website continues to go on, says it provides flavor, texture, and enhances the overall presentation of the food. Did you realize that? If you ever wonder why salt can be found in just about every food item, these are the reasons why. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 13, He says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned?" Now, when I first read this years ago, I didn't read it right, or it didn't hit my mind right. I thought, if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? I thought, well, how do you season salt? But then I realized it's not what it's talking about. It's saying, how's the earth going to be seasoned? Amen? You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how is it, the earth, going to be seasoned? Amen? It is then good for what? Nothing but to be thrown out and to be trampled underfoot by men. Now, as I think about what we just read about salt and the fact that there is a knockoff, there is an imposter for salt called potassium chloride that looks like salt and feels like salt. I don't know that salt has a smell, but maybe it would smell like salt. But it sure doesn't taste like salt. It doesn't do the same trick as salt. Jesus says if we lose our salt and we can no longer season, we can no longer do what we are called to do, then we are good for something? Good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. That's pretty harsh words. One of the first things that About.com said about salt is that salt is used and has been for many years as a what? As a preservative. Have we been called to preserve anything? We've been called to preserve the Word of God, to have the testimony of Jesus be at the core of who we are as a person. Amen? To hide the truth in our hearts and then go and tell it to the world. Amen? The Bible tells us in Revelation 14, we have a depiction of what true versus false worship looks like, and true worship tells us to fear God and give glory to Him, because the hour of His judgment is come. We are living in the hours just before Jesus will come again to take His bride home. Do you want to be a part of the bride? Do you want to see others join in with the body of Christ and become part of the bride of Christ? We are to preserve this message, to be taken before the world, to be declared, to be heralded with a loud cry. Are you the salt of the earth? Are you providing that preservative for God's word among the people of earth? Are you showing to the earth the integrity of God's character? Are you representing Jesus in your life in such a way as that it is winsome and attractive to those who are seeking to find? Because, friends, there are people who are hungry to know Jesus. Are you preserving the Word of God, the things that you've been taught, the things that you've learned from Scripture? Are you preserving these things and holding them in high esteem in your personal life, when you're behind closed doors? When you're not in a public eye, are you being faithful to God? Are you being the man, the woman that Jesus has called you to be? And then as you go out before the world, as you walk in the public eye, as you work in the public sector, as you go to school, as you shop, as you do whatever it is that you do from day to day, are you preserving the Word of God? Were you allowing yourself to be somewhat of a substitute? Are you allowing yourself to be somewhat of a knockoff, appearing to be salt? Maybe having some of the texture of salt, but have you lost your flavor? Are you an imposter? Second thing that it says is that salt is an essential nutrient. Without a certain amount of sodium in our diet, a certain amount of the proper type of salt that we should eat, the iodized salt, we become deficient. Are you providing flavor? Now, Pastor, how do I provide flavor? Well, when you add salt, you know, sometimes people make the mistake and they say that salt is a seasoning, but it's not. You realize that? Or rather, an herb, yeah, a seasoning. It's not. Salt is a flavor enhancer. Isn't that interesting? So you know what? What that tells me is that God is not calling you or me to add something to His Word that's not already there. Amen? God is not calling us to make the Word of God better, but instead, God is calling us to stand as representatives for Him in the likeness of Jesus, being reconciled to God, and having this ministry of reconciliation as though God is imploring through us to others, be reconciled to God. And so we're not to add something, but instead God calls us to enhance His Word by being sharers of His Word. Amen? We are to draw out the savor of the gospel. Some people really like sweet food. How many of you here like food that tastes sweet? Okay, many hands. That's okay. I like sweet food that should be sweet. You know what I mean by that? Like, I mean, I like ice cream to be sweet. I like cake to be sweet. But I don't want supper to be sweet. But some people like supper to be sweet. You know what I mean? Sweet and sour this, and honey glazed that, and coconut this. That's not for me. Now, some people like that. I have a lot of relatives that every time we would eat Asian food, they wanted all that sweet and sour sauce on everything, all the rice, everything they ate, sweet and sour, sweet, sweet, sweet. I never could like that. I never could understand it. And then I met a friend at Southern when I was in school, and he felt the same as me. I finally met somebody that felt the exact same way. I like sweet when it's supposed to be sweet, but I like savory when it's supposed to be savory. And his little saying was, they're savory and they're sweet, and the twain shall never meet. And I said, amen to that. Salt is savory, right? It makes things savory. And so we want to bring out the savor of the gospel. We want to enhance and build up the succulence of God's love, His grace, His mercy, His righteousness. We want to make it attractive, because one of the purposes of salt that I just read to you, it says here, provides flavor, texture even, I thought that was interesting, and enhances the presentation. Well, I tell you, friends, that salt substitute, that stuff that touted itself as being new salt, when it was poured on food that probably without it would have been just fine with no salt, but then you put new salt and I couldn't eat it. It was objectionable. It was something to be rejected for me. I just couldn't, it was not palatable to me at all. But there's certain things that you just add a touch of salt, pinch of salt, salt to taste. Don't you like those recipes that say that? A teaspoon of this and a teaspoon of that, and then salt to taste. That's scary, because your taste might not be the same as my taste. And I know some people that really like to dump the salt on or in something. But it needs to be palatable. It needs to enhance the presentation. So our salt, when we are seasoning this earth, we want to allow Jesus to use us as an instrument to enhance what He has taught. Remember in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus left His disciples with some words of admonishment. He stood before them and He said, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe what? All things that I've commanded." And just before that, He said, "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And Jesus says, and then He says, "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo," in other words, if you do this, if you're following my example, if you're allowing me through the agency of the Holy Spirit to guide and lead you, and you're presenting this in a palatable, savory way, "Lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." What is our texture like? Are we too coarse? Or do we have just the right amount that it enhances the flavor and it makes this thing that we're trying to do, this mission of Seventh-day Adventist Christians, is it something that is attractive to somebody who is hungry? Or do we have an appearance of salt, but we're really an imposter in our own right? The Bible shows us what the proper flavor ought to be, and you find that in the first letter of John here towards the back of your Bibles. 1 John, just before Jude and Revelation here. 1 John chapter 5. We're going to go to the last chapter. If you'll turn there with me for just a moment. 1 John chapter 5. Well, let's start in chapter 4. We're going to grab this whole context. Is that okay? You ever listen to Tough Questions on Strong Tower Radio? Context is key. Amen? It's about context. We don't want to build an entire dogma or write a whole sermon on one text. We have to look here a little, there a little, line upon line, line upon line. In verse 20 of chapter 4, if someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a... So if I say I love God, but then my actions express something differently, am I salt or am I a substitute? Someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he can see, how can he love God whom he does not see? Jesus used another term for folks like that. He called them hypocrites, which is just another word for actor. Are you acting? Or are you living it out? Is it part of who you are? Verse 21, "In this commandment we have from Him, that he who loves God must also love his brother." And in verse 1 of chapter 5, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. This is saying if we believe that Jesus is the Christ, who is the Christos, the Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one, if we accept Jesus as our Messiah, meaning we have allowed Him to have lordship in our lives. We have allowed Him to be our Messiah. Amen? So many individuals in this society love the concept of Jesus being their Savior, but they don't so much like Him to be their Lord. We like to be given something for free, but we don't like to be told to do something different. But if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, then you're born of God. And everyone who loves Him, who begot, also loves Him who is begotten of Him. By this we know then that we love the children of God when we love God and do what? Keep His commandments, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And remember one of those salt roles, one of those things that salt does, one of those characteristics of salt is that it enhances the texture and the presentation. Look, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome, grievous. If as Adventist Christians, we get to a point in our lives where we're walking with Jesus, and then society comes along and something shifts in our society, maybe politically, maybe socially, and society says, no, this new way of doing something is the norm, and we think, man, I don't like to not fit in with the norm. I kind of want to be fitted with these individuals. I don't want to be the outcast. I don't want to be the strange person. What choice do we make? Do we turn our backs on what we know to be God's Word and say, okay, I'm an Adventist, and oh yeah, I know there's some of the people at church are really conservative, and you know, I don't like those terms in the church. You know, I've never read in the Bible anywhere where it says we ought to be conservative Christians. And I've never read anywhere in the Bible it says it's okay to be a liberal Christian. Have you ever seen that anywhere? I'll give you $1,000 if you can find it. Will you look for it? If you don't find it, will you give me $1,000? No, because you know you won't find it, right? Okay. The Bible doesn't say anything about that, does it? The Bible says that we ought to walk just as He walked. The Bible says that as many of you as were baptized into Him, do you not realize that you were baptized into His death, and now you must walk in the newness of life? Doesn't the Bible say something about if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. For the former things have passed away, and all things have become made new in Christ Jesus. Knowing this, that He who knew no sin became sin, that we might become what? That we might become righteousness in Him. Not that we might obtain, but that we might become righteousness. Is that not an awesome thought? That there is victory to be had by the Christian? And that if we are truly flavored salt, that we can go about seasoning this earth in such a way that the savor of the gospel is attractive, and that we can call a wretched sinner away from that lifestyle, away from those habits, to a loving God who says, I'm going to give you freedom from that mess. And He can use us, broken vessels, to be those instruments of compassion and mercy, but also as catalysts for change. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, 1 John 5:3, and that His commandments are not burdensome. And so I don't look at society and I see what's normal out there. I see what's socially acceptable, and now I hang my head because, oh yeah, I'm an Adventist and we don't really do those things. And we don't go to places like that because The Adventist church doesn't like it. No, the Lord has called us to be His peculiar people, to be a royal priesthood, to represent who Jesus is to the world. Do you realize, friends, that you, sitting in your pew right now, you might be the only Jesus that somebody ever meets? You might be the face of God for someone else. And that is why we are called to be ambassadors for Him. As though God was pleading through us. Just like the prophets in the Old Testament and the New Testament were the voice of God to the people, God is calling each one of us to be a voice for Jesus today. Verse 4 goes on, "For whoever is born of God overcomes the world." The world doesn't overcome us. The world doesn't dictate to us how to live. The fashions, the desires, the lusts of the world do not dictate our lives. Instead, we follow what Jesus is, what He wants us to be. And then He goes on to say, "Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes Jesus is the Son of God." How do we do this? Through faith. Whoever, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is victory. That has overcome the world. It is our faith. We are to be born of God. We are to allow the Holy Spirit to change who we are and to give us that texture. Now, I mentioned earlier about salt enhancing the flavor and making something palatable. What happens if you open up the lid of the salt shaker, you don't leave the little grate on it, and you take the whole thing off and you just dump the whole thing onto one plate? How's it going to be? I remember my grandpa. Oh my. He loved to get those big, red, fresh garden tomatoes. You like a garden tomato? I love garden tomatoes. Oh, and they would look so good, and he'd slice them up real nice, and he'd cascade them out on a plate. And then he would take a salt shaker, and he would just salt and salt and salt. So, until the tops of those tomatoes turn white. And I remember seeing that and I would think, oh, how can he do that? I like two shakes. And that does just great for the tomato. You see, Jesus said we're to be the salt of the earth. We're to enhance the flavor of the gospel. But we've got to be careful because Jesus also said that we have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And if we come onto somebody so strong that we're suffocating them, or maybe we're looking at our own walk with Jesus and how far we might have attained, and then we go to another person who's not quite attained to a level where we are, and then we're just coming on top of them real strong, are we going to be palatable that way and winsome? Remember another preacher one time, and I don't remember who it was, so I can't give him credit, but it wasn't me, so I'm giving someone else this credit, made the comment that God calls us to bear spiritual fruit and not to be religious nuts. And I always liked that because we can do that, can't we? We can glom on to the latest trend or fad or something and we can turn something into a metric system so easy where we're measuring how higher on a spiritual plane than we are than other people because we've adopted this certain practice and we think everyone should. We have to be careful. We have to be compassionate. Doesn't mean we indulge sin. Let me say that again. We don't indulge sin. We call people to repentance, though. We call people to the foot of the cross, and then we pray for them and ask for the Holy Spirit to lead them to conviction and repentance. Conviction and conversion. We can lead someone to repentance. We can ask somebody to make a decision for Jesus. But then from there, it's up to Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, to convert that heart. And we should ask Jesus every day, "Lord, make me the type of salt that enhances this flavor in such a way that I can be an instrument, a tool in helping that conversion take place." Because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be real salt, not salt substitutes. But He doesn't want us to give people high blood pressure either. So He doesn't want us to just pour it on so thick that people can't grasp it, right? We have to do things according to the way Jesus did them. And if we follow His example of how He ministered and we really do that, just imagine how many converts we could see come to the side of Jesus. Our victory, the life that we have in Jesus, the joy, the peace that we find in Him should be a testimony to all those that we come in contact with. Because after Jesus said you were to be the salt of the earth, there in Matthew 5, if you kept your finger there, if you can flip back quickly, the next thing that Jesus says here in His famous Sermon on the Mount is that you are also to be the light of the world. Verse 14. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. They do not light a lamp and then put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before the world that all may see your good works and then glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. It always makes my heart happy when I run into somebody on the street and they say, and I get to talk to them and they say, "Oh, you're a Seventh-day Adventist pastor." Yes? Well, I had some friends who were Seventh-day Adventists once, and they were just the nicest people, and I'm always like, praise the Lord to hear that kind of testimony. Praise God. And I will say that I hear that much more often than I hear something opposite to that. But once in a while you hear, "Oh yeah." Especially when it goes something like this. "I used to date a Seventh-day Adventist." When I hear those words, I'm like, yeah, that's not going to end well. "I used to date Seventh-day Adventist." You know, what you find is many times there are in name only Seventh-day Adventists and they're walking around as salt substitute, and sometimes they don't even realize they're an imposter. Friends, I don't want any of us here to be an imposter. Amen? I want us to represent Jesus so well that when people hear about the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church, they say, yes, that's a church that really upholds the Bible. That is a church that really draws people to Jesus. That is a church that when I walk through the door, I know I'm going to leave with something that I can apply to my own life. And not only that, there are people who when I'm with them, I feel like they want me there. We want to be salt, not salt substitutes. We don't want to be an imposter. We don't want people to think of us, "Oh yeah, those Seventh-day Adventists, boy, they're crazy. All they ever talk about is," and I'm just going to let you fill the blank in on that. "All I ever see them do is," and you fill in the blank. Instead, I just want to see us be a little city on a hill right here. A light before our community. A place where people say, "I got to go find out what it is that they have because I want some of that." In the Desire of Ages, page 306, the pen of inspiration says, "Ye are the salt of the earth," Jesus said. "Do not withdraw yourselves from the world in order to escape persecution. You are to abide among men, that the savor of the divine love may be a salt to preserve the world from corruption." Beautiful words. Hearts that respond to the influence of the Holy Spirit are the channels through which God's blessing flows. Were those who serve God removed from the earth and His Spirit withdrawn from among men, this world would be left to desolation and destruction. Do you realize that Jesus uses you and He uses me to exert a godly influence on this world, and that we play a role in preventing mass desolation and destruction? You might think to yourself, really? Yes, you are that important in this whole grand scheme of gospel ministry. Amen? Though the wicked know it not, They owe even the blessings of this life to the... Though the wicked know it not, they owe the blessings of this life to the presence in the world of God's people whom they despise and oppress. Do you hear that? But if Christians are such in name only, they are like the salt that has lost its flavor. I'm going to reword that with apologies to Mrs. E.G. White. But if Christians are such in name only, they are like salt substitutes who are objectionable and do not enhance the flavor. They have no influence for good in the world. Through their misrepresentation of God, they are worse than unbelievers. Did you hear that? See, there's a danger. There's a grave danger in knowing the Word of God and not practicing the Word of God. There's a grave danger in knowing the truth, but not allowing the truth to have power and influence over your life. There's a grave danger in being a member of the church and thinking that you're faithful, than being a member of the church and honestly being faithful to Jesus. We are called to be the salt of the earth. Like I said earlier, you may be the only representation of Jesus a person may ever have the chance to see in this world. How will your example sit upon the palate of the receiver? Will your salt have a savory appeal? Or will there be sensed in you some type of hidden, weird, off-putting flavor that doesn't really belong there? There is no replacement for the genuine. Jesus has called us to salt this earth with an influence of His character, His likeness, His nature, His truth, and to teach all things which He has commanded. Psalm 34:8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Are you adding salt to enhance that taste so that others will see that the Lord is good? Are you being the salt of the earth, or are you a salt substitute this morning? May each one of us here today refuse to waste time being a salt substitute, but instead ask Jesus to truly, honestly, and genuinely make us the salt of the earth.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.